Translation. My dear king talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the subject, and so forth, are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words, two words are very significant, Vedavada and Tattvavada. According to Bhagavad Gita, those who are simply attached to the Vedas and who do not understand the purpose of the Vedas or the Vedanta Sutra are called Vedavadarita. Ya imam pushpitam vacham pravatyan avipasrita Vedavadarita parta nadyat astiti Vedita, Vedina. Does someone know it? Karma natmanatmana svarga para janma karma phala praditam kriya vishesha bahudam bahulam. It's hard to see up here. Bhogaishvarya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. The Vedavadarita, or Vedavada followers of the Vedas, are generally inclined to karmakanda, the performance of sacrifice according to the Vedic injunctions. They are thereby promoted to higher planetary systems. They generally practice the Chaturmasya system. Akshayam hi vai Chaturmasya yagya sukritam bhavanti. One who performs the Chaturmasya yagya becomes pious. By becoming pious, one becomes promoted to the higher planetary systems. Urvidvam gacchati sattvasta. Some of the followers of the Vedas are attached to karmakanda, the fruitive activities of the Vedas, in order to be promoted to the higher standard of life. Others argue that there is no purpose of the Vedas, that this is not the purpose of the Vedas. Tadyat yata veha kurmo jita loka kshiyate evam evam putra punya jita loka kshiyate. In this world, someone may become very highly elevated by taking birth in an aristocratic family, by being well-educated, beautiful, or very rich. These are the gifts for pious activities enacted in the past life. However, these will be finished with the stock of pious when the stock of pious activity is finished. If we become attached to pious activities, we may get these various worldly facilities in the next life and may take birth in the heavenly planets. But all of this will eventually be finished. Shine punye mrityum lokam vishanti, Bhagavad Gita 9.21. When the stock of pious activities is finished, one again has to come to this mrtya loka. According to the Vedic injunctions, the performance of pious activities is not really the objective of the Vedas. The objective of the Vedas is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedas charsa bar aham eva vedyo. Eva Vedya. The objective of the Vedas is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are Vedavadis are not actually advanced in knowledge, and those who are followers of Jnanakanda, Brahman understanding, are also not perfect. However, when one comes to the platform of Upasana and accepts the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they become perfect. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. In the Vedas, the worship of different demigods and the performance of sacrifice are certainly mentioned, but such worship is inferior because the worshippers do not know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. Na te vidhu svarta gatim hi Vishnum. When one comes to the platform of Vishnu Aradhanam or Bhakti Yoga, one has attained the perfection of life. Otherwise, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is not a Tattvavada, but a Vedavadi, a blind follower of Vedic injunctions. The Vedavadi cannot be purified from material contamination unless he becomes a Tattvavadi, one who knows Tattva, the absolute truth. Tattva is explained in three features. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabhyate. Even after coming to the platform of understanding Tattva, one has to worship Bhagavan, Vishnu, and his expansions, or one is not yet perfect. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mam prapadyante. After many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna. The conclusion is that unintelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand Bhagavan, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. But after studying the Vedas and attaining the understanding of the Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is supposed to be on the platform of perfect knowledge. Om gyan timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha mukam karoti vachalam pongum langayate girim yat krupatamaham bande shri guru dinataranam shri rupa shri sanatana bataraguna shri jiva gopal bata dasa raguna Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Darati Swapadantitam Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurasvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tavasmi radhika nata karmana manasagira Krishna gante tavai vasmi uvame vagatir mama Govinda valabe radhe partiye tamaham sada Tvadiya iti janatu govindo mam tayasaham Radhe vrindavan adishe karunam ritavahini Kripaya nija padabja dasyam mahyam pradiyatam Tavai vasmi, tavai vasmi, najivami twayavina Iti vigyaya devi tvam nayamam charanantikam Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha Padithanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha So here in Prabhupada's purport, he's comparing and contrasting two terms that are found in the verse. One is the Vedavada, or the Vedavadi, as Prabhupada refers to that person in his purport. And the other is the Tattvavada, or Tattvavadi. We can add one more category to the to this discussion, and that is the Mayavadi. So, Vada is a philosophical worldview. Vedavadi sees the world in terms of the Vedas. The Tattvavadi sees the world in terms of categories of truth. The Mayavadi sees the world as an illusion, as non-existent. So Prabhupada spends most of his purport explaining the philosophical deficiency in understanding of the Vedavadi, the one who sees the world simply in terms of the Vedas, but it's more about a misconception, a misunderstanding of the Veda. As Prabhupada quotes in his purport, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedarsya Saravar, Aham Eva Vedyo.
the real purpose or purport of the Veda is to know Krishna. But when you study the Veda text, this may not be immediately apparent. When you read the Veda Samhita, and here we, Prabhupada speaks about the Vedic literature, and that's something very broad. But if we become more technical, then the Vedic literature, in fact, has different divisions or sections. So the Veda Samhita itself basically deals with sacrifice for the attainment of material rewards or material blessings. And those sacrifices are directed towards different demigods. Indra, Agni, Vayu, and so on. And so, someone who is a Vedavadi, as Prabhupada is defining it here in this purport, is someone who sees the world in terms of, let me perform pious works and sacrifices in order to get material blessings from these gods or demigods. Now Prabhupada's making the point that this is foolish because you may get material rewards, but they are temporary. You'll have to leave them at some point. Once your pious credit is exhausted, then you will no longer be able to enjoy those rewards. And so it is short-sighted. Temporary pleasures, elevation to a temporary position in the higher planets of the demigods. Now, if one studies the Veda Samhita more carefully, one will see that all of these gods, they are limbs of Vishnu. They are agents of the Supreme Godhead. The Purusha Shukta is a text that is found in the Veda Samhita. And in fact, in the different the Rig Sama Yajur Atharva, Purusha Shukta is found. And the Purusha Shukta defines or describes the universe in relation to these gods, but they are all encompassing the body of the Purusha, the Supreme Person. Chandrama manaso jatahas. Chandraji, the moon is his mind. Chaksho suryo ajayata. The sun is his eyes. Mukhar indras. His chagnischa, his mouth is Indra and Agni. Pranad vayu rajayata. His breathing is Vayu, the deity Vayu. The Purusha Shukta hymn further explains how the different social limbs of society are also aspects of the supreme deity or the supreme Godhead. Trying to remember the Sanskrit. Brahmanosya mukhamasid. That the Brahmanas are the face of this deity. Brahmanosya mukhamasid. Bahurajanyakrittaha. His arms are the Kshatriyas, Uru Tarasya Yad Vaishaha, the valley of this deity are the Vaishas in society, and Uru Tarasya Yad Vaishaha, Padyam Sudro Ajayata, and the Sudras, they are the legs of this deity. So the Purusha Shukta glorifies the universe, it worships the universe, it worships the different aspects of society. It worships the demigods. But all of this worship is understood to be worship of the Supreme Godhead. That Purusha, or Purushottama, is Vishnu. And so, by worshiping the Devas, yes, we indirectly worship Vishnu. By honoring Brahmanas, by honoring the king, yes, we are worshiping Vishnu. by respecting the universal order, we are respecting Vishnu. But this is all indirect. It is indirect worship. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye pyanya devata bhakta. Someone know the verse? Loudly. Yeah? Bhajante shadayanvita. Mamevahi kunteya. Mamevahi kunteya. Bhajanti avidipurvakam. So the worshippers of other devas, of the demigods, they are in fact worshipping me. That we learned from the by analysis of Purusha. They are in fact worshipping me. And I give them the faith to perform that worship. But actually they are doing it with ignorance. They are doing it in a wrong way. You can worship Vishnu directly. You can worship that Purushottama directly. That Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, as Arjuna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, that Supreme Godhead, you can worship directly. And that is not clear in the Veda. The Tattvavadi makes this more clear. So in reading the Veda, you can see, you might also get a sense that it is all one. The Devas, the Purusha, the universe, it is all one. In that sense, that they are all connected and united. But the Tattvavadi has Vivek. What does Vivek mean?
Knowledge,
okay. Discrimination. The Tattvavadi has Vivek, which means discrimination. Yes, it is all the Purusha. It is all Godhead. But Vivek means discrimination. There are different aspects to it. And the Tattvavadi is able to distinguish between the different aspects of this great Purusha, this great universal deity, universal form, as exhibited in the Bhagavad Gita. And that tattva is internal tattva, external tattva, or spiritual tattva, external tattva, and marginal tattva. That is the spiritual energy, material energy, and the living entity. That is tattva vivek. Now, each of those three categories of tattva, the antaranga shakti tattva, or spiritual energy, bahiranga shakti tattva, or external energy, and tatashta shakti tattva, or marginal, jiva shakti, marginal energy, they can also be further broken down. Tattvavadi has vivek, discrimination, they can do that as well. So, the internal potency, how will we break it down? We break it down. Krishna Prabhupada's given us the idea in the purport. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabhyate. Internal energy can be understood in terms of Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. There's another way of breaking this down, that is Satchit Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Brahman exhibits the eternity aspect, Sat. In Brahman, Sat is exhibited, but Ananda is not apparent. It is there, Brahmananda, but it is not actively expressed. In Paramatma, then Sat Chit, eternity and knowledge. Paramatma is seated in your heart, giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. What is the Sanskrit? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmriter jnanam apohanam cha. I am in the heart of every living entity, giving knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness. So Paramatma aspect of Godhead, Sat and Chit, are clearly exhibited. In Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, then Sat, Chit and Ananda, that bliss potency, is expressed. And within Bhagavan, the Tattvavadi, one who has Vivek, can even understand. There is a distinction there. There is Bhagavan in Aishwarya Rupa, as Narayana, as Vishnu. Yeah? Exhibiting all of his opulence as the maintainer of this world. There is Bhagavan exhibiting his opulence in Vaikuntha. There is Bhagavan exhibiting his opulence in Dvaraka. So there is Bhagavan with his Aishwarya, where Aishwarya is prominent, and Bhagavan where Madhurya, or sweetness, is prominent. And the Madhurya tempers the Aishwarya, or vice versa. Aishwarya tempers Madhurya. So Aishwarya means power, majesty. Madhurya means sweetness. So as Narayana or Vishnu, majesty is prominent. As Sri Krishna, then Madhurya or sweetness is prominent. Krishna exhibits qualities of sweetness that Narayana does not exhibit. He plays a flute. Venu Madhurya. Narayana he carries a chakra and a gada. He has weapons. Krishna plays, he carries a flute. He carries a stick. He carries a rope. He carries a buffalo horn. So his pastimes, these are all very playful paraphernalia that Krishna carries. No gadas, no chakras. Sometimes he will carry Padma as well, lotus flower, tucked behind his ear, Karnikara flower. Krishna is always surrounded by loving associates, devotees, that don't even know he's God, or may have some idea but don't care. Yasoda Maya is concerned to feed Krishna, otherwise he will become weak and skinny and die. She's concerned about thorns, you know, hurting his feet. She's concerned about demons attacking. She has some idea that, yes, he's done some amazing things. Some say he might be God, but he's my boy. Might be true, might be not, I don't care. It doesn't temper her love at all, that idea that he could be God. Similarly, Subal, Sridhar, Marumangal, they wrestle with Krishna, they steal his lunch bag, they call him names. Similarly, Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, they enjoy amorous pastimes with Krishna. They sneak out with him in the night, they dance with him, they joke, they play different games, they become angry. And then they'll see Krishna do something amazing. And it will create a doubt. Could he be God? Whatever. Yeah? It doesn't matter to them. So their sweetness overrides. They'll see Krishna kill the Kaliya. Agasura. Growing inside Agasura's body and popping out through the roof of his head. The cowherd boys will see this and they'll just say, Krishna is so amazing. They'll see demigods gathered in the sky to offer flowers and prayers and, you know, play instruments. Gandharvas playing instruments. And they'll say, just see how amazing our Krishna is. He's the best cowherd boy around. So their love is never, their prema is never tempered or is never diminished, even by some hint of his Aishwarya. That was not there with Devaki, for example. Devaki has Krishna as her son, Devaki Nandana. But when she sees his power, she offers prayers. to him. I was thinking you were my son. Similarly with Arjuna. When Arjuna sees Krishna's universal form, he offers hundreds of obeisances, asking for forgiveness. I was thinking you were my friend. I was sitting with you on the same bed. I was joking with you. I was laughing with you. I was eating with you. I must have committed so many offenses, not realizing that you are the Supreme Godhead. Please accept my obeisances from the front, from the side, from behind. He's really, you know, he wants to cover his bases. That doesn't happen in Vrindavan. Because they're... Madhurya is never tempered by Aishwarya. Even though Aishwarya may appear, it just heightens the sweetness of the pastime. Whereas in Vaikuntha, or even in Dwarka, awareness of Krishna's majesty diminishes the possibility for that sweet exchange. Yeah? The sweetness of that exchange. So the... One who has tattva vivek can understand these distinctions. Yes, it is all Bhagavan, it is all antaranga shakti tattva. But even within that, Raman Paramatman Bhagavan, even within Bhagavan, there is Aishwarya Rupa, there is Madhurya Rupa. We can apply similar vivek or discrimination to the material energy. There's another category sir, let's stay with the spiritual energy. That Satchit Ananda, or is also understood as Samvit, Sandini, and Fladini Tattva. Samvit is the eternity potency, but that is what the spiritual world is made of. That is the... we only have material terms. That is the matter, the stuff of the material world. Sandini is the... Sandini is that stuff. Samvit is consciousness. Everything in the spiritual nature is conscious. And Kladini, that is the pleasure potency. Sri Radha personifies that pleasure potency. Balaram personifies the eternity potency, the Sandini Shakti. Krishna himself personifies the Samvit Shakti. So we can also apply vivek to the material nature, break it down. Yeah, different categories. Yes, it is all material energy, but break it down to understand subtleties. The material nature is consisting of three aspects. Yeah, quite clear what they are. They are the three gunas, three qualities of material nature. It is all material, but it has three qualities, or three modes, Prabhupada would use that term. Sattva, rajas, and tamas, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And all the material nature is combinations, mixes of those three essential qualities that are the perverted reflection of the spiritual nature. Spiritual nature has three aspects, material nature also. The eternity potency reflects into the material nature as tamas, ignorance. The rajasic potency is a reflection of the knowledge potency of the spiritual world, chit, or samvit shakti. And sattva, or goodness, the mode of goodness which creates peace and satisfaction and sustainability, that is a reflection of the pleasure potency, or the ananda, or hladini shakti of the spiritual world. Yeah? This material world only exists as a reflection of the original spiritual world. And so everything in the spiritual nature is composed of samvit, sandini, hladini. Everything in the material nature is composed of sattva, rajas, and tamas. The deity of the eternity potency is Baladev. The deity of the shakti, of that is the tamasic potency, that is Durga. And her lord is Shiva. So Shiva is the tamaguna avatar. The deity of the samvit shakti is Sri Krishna. Reflects into the material nature as the knowledge potency, that is rajasic, personified as Sarasvati. And her husband is Brahma. Brahma is the Rajaguna avatar. Hladini Shakti in the spiritual world reflects into the material nature as Sattvaguna, personified as Lakshmi, the goddess of goodness or fortune. And her husband is Narayana. So Narayana is the Sattvaguna avatar. Yeah, so these three gunas, we have three guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva rule the material world, creation, maintenance, and destruction. Their wives are personify those energies. The husbands rule them, the wives personify them. Shiva rules tamas, Vishnu rules sattva, Brahma rules rajas. Lots of little categories here today. Hopefully you're following. The Jiva Shakti, that is our, the marginal potency, is also of three qualities. And these three qualities are Satchit Ananda. Samvit Sandini Hladini, but in the minute aspect, to a small degree. Yeah, Jiva is Anu, is small. We are small. And because Jiva is small, because this Tatashta Shakti is small, then Jiva can be overcome or bewildered by the material energy. The jiva can identify more with sattva, rajas, and tamas than with samvit, sandini, hladini. So that is maya, that misidentification. The mayavadi says everything is maya. The tattvavadi says, oh no, only that misidentification. When jiva, that is real, thinks that it is nothing but these three material energies or three potencies or qualities. That is the illusion, when I think that I am this body. When I think that I am young or old, Australian, American, Indian, black, white, master, servant. Yeah, the verse is speaking about these different material relationships. Master, servant. King and subject. Yeah. That is the illusion. Jiva is real. Material nature is real. Spiritual nature is real. But Jiva's identification with the material nature, that is false. That is Maya. So Tattvavadi disagrees with the Mayavadi. Mayavadi says everything is illusion, except except Brahman, which has become subject to illusion. It becomes really convoluted. How does Brahman, that is the only Godhead, yeah? You and I are that God, Brahman. How do we become subject to illusion? That the Mayavadi can't really explain. Well, you're not... They can't really explain it. When I was a young teenager, I used to love reading a book called Mayavada Satadushani by Vadiraj Tirtha. Vadiraj Tirtha is a guru, an acharya in the line of Madhvacharya. And they, you know, where Prabhupada's making the distinction, Mayavadi, Tattvavadi. The followers of Madhva, they actually call themselves as Tattvavadis. They distinguish themselves from the Mayavadi. We are the Tattvavadis. So, even today, if you visit them, they identify as the Tattvavadis. So I used to love reading this book by Vadiraj Tirtha, a Tattvavadi, called Mayavad Satadushani, 100 Arguments for Destroying Mayavad. It's a lot of fun. Especially for a teenager. Great arguments against Mayavad philosophy. If that's something that you're interested in, look up that book. Just he logically goes through and just dissects and pulls apart the whole Mayavad philosophy. While we're on the topic of books, there's another book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Bhakti Tattva Vivek. I'm using this word Tattva Vivek, but in my mind I'm thinking of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, Bhakti Tattva Vivek, where he goes and breaks down different categories of tattva. So that's what's in the back of my head as I'm speaking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the Tattvavadis in Udupi, Kerala, Kannada, South India. And he had conversation with the Tattvavadi Acharya of the time. And of course, we, followers of Sri Chaitanya, we are in the line of Madhva, initiated into the line of Madhva Acharya, and these Tattvavadis that Sri Chaitanya went to visit. You might expect that this was a, Chaitanya coming to the Madhva seat, their main temple, their main ashram, that it would be some kind of homecoming for Sri Chaitanya. This is the seat of his line of disciplic succession that he's initiated into. You might think that Chaitanya would come in that mood, but it wasn't the case. Chaitanya's conversation with the acharya, with the teacher, at that time was quite adversarial. Chaitanya asked the acharya, he said, what is... Can anyone say what he asked? And? What is sadhya and? What is sadhya, what is sadhana? This question Chaitanya asks through different conversations in Chaitanya Charitamrita to Ramananda Rai. It comes up with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, with Prakashananda Saraswati as well. He asked the acharya, the Tattvavadi acharya, the acharya at the seat in the disciplic line that Sri Chaitanya himself is initiated into, what is sadhya, what is sadhana? And the acharya replies, who can say what his reply is? Sadhya, by the way, means the goal. Sadhana means the practice to achieve the goal. So he meets the acharya and he says, please tell me what is the goal and what is the practice that we should have followed to achieve that goal. The acharya replies, is the practice. Yeah. So the acharya says, mukti, liberation is the goal, and varnashrama dharma, proper execution of your social duties as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, or as a brahmachari, vanaprastha, grihastha, sannyas, that is the process. That is the practice. So I can see you're shaking your head like, where did that come from? Is he a Vaishnava or what? Chaitanya similarly shook his head. He was very disappointed. This is the acharya, the teacher on the seat, the guru on the seat, in the line of Madhva, and he's giving such a response. Chaitanya was very disappointed and rejected the acharya's response and said, no. For a Vaishnava, mukti is not the goal. Liberation is not the goal. The goal is... I'm hearing different responses. What is that? Say, bhakti. Bhakti, okay.
Service.
Prema. Prema pumarta mahan. Chaitanya taught that prema, love, is the goal. Bhakti and prema, they're all together. I beg your pardon?
It's a process, bhakti is a process. Prema is the goal.
Right. So, bhakti is the prema is the goal, and bhakti is the sadhana.
Yeah.
Bhakti is the process. Chaitanya gave examples from Shastra. Anyone know the example he gave of someone? A Vaishnava who didn't care for liberation. Okay. Someone else? Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah, he used death to step on the aeroplane. The example Chaitanya gave was of Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed to become a demon by Parvati. Parvati cursed him because he had seen Parvati sitting on Shiva's lap. Many sadhus sitting around Shiva having darshan, and Shiva is sitting there with his girl on his lap with his arm around her. And Chitraketu thought, like, you're laughing? Chitraketu also laughed. He thought it was humorous. All of these rishis, you know, with their beards and matted hair and, you know, performing great austerities, they're there sitting before Shiva. Shiva's got his girl on his lap. He's got his arm around her. And Chitraketu was flying by in his viman, in an aeroplane. And he saw this, and he thought it was very humorous. Not as any disrespect, but he just thought it was humorous. And so he laughed, and Parvati, she heard that laugh, and she became very angry. How dare you laugh at Shiva, who is honored by Brahma and Vishnu, who is worshipped by all the devas, who is fully self-controlled, who destroys this world through his dance of destruction. How dare you laugh at him? Your mentality is that of a demon, and therefore I curse you to become a demon. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he offered his pranam to Durga, and he says, you're my mother. And when a son makes a mistake, it is the mother's role to correct the son. And so your curse on me is in fact your love for me, and I'm very grateful to have your mercy and your love in this way. And he left. And Lord Shiva mocked Parvati when he left. you became so angry at him. He was laughing in good humor, but you became so angry, and your reaction was quite strong, cursing him to become a demon. But how did he take it? He took it with all humility, with all respect. He was not angry. What he did to me was much less than what you've done to him. Yeah, it's not proportionate. But you became angry, and he has accepted it with good heart. And then he said, this is the verse that Sri Chaitanya quoted to the Acharya. Narayana para sarve nakatashtana vibhyati svarga pavarga narake. Svarga pavarga narake. Anyone know the end? Apituliyata darshana. That the devotee of Narayana is always satisfied. They're always they're not disturbed. Nakutashta nirvyuti. Svarga pavarga narake. Whether they are in heaven, svarga, yeah, the Veda body wants svarga. That's their thing. The devotee of Narayana, whether it is svarga, pavarga, whether it is earth or the middle regions, or narake, whether it is the hellish worlds. They're always remembering, they're always seeing Narayana, and they're satisfied and happy. So that was Chaitanya's evidence to the Tattvabhadi Acharya. Devotees don't aspire for liberation, they aspire to love Narayana, they aspire to love Krishna. That's what they aspire, that is the goal. That is the param gati, the supreme destination. We're not salvationists seeking liberation. The devotee, in fact, rejects five types of liberation. What are they? Sarupya, to have the same form as the Lord. Samipya, to live near to the Lord. Huh? Salokya, to live on the same planet as the Lord. I said five. Sharsti, to have the same opulence as the Lord. And Swarupya, Sayujya, to merge with the Lord. Particularly that Sayujya liberation is, the devotee considers that to be worse than hell. If I merge with the Lord, how will I serve? It is a valid objective, yeah, for people who follow the, they might aspire for that. Let me merge with Brahman. Let me merge with the Lord. We see the demigods, they are killed by the, and then they merge with the Lord. It is a valid goal, but not for the Vaishnava. How will I serve? How will Sri Radha serve Govinda if she merges with him? How will Hanuman serve Sri Ram if he merges with him? Hanuman and Ram are not the same. Hanuman, Ram, Krishna are not the same. Ram and Krishna are, but not Hanuman. He's always the servant. So the devotee rejects Sayujya as a goal. And the other four, they may come, but they're not aspired for. The devotee is aspiring for prema, for love. And as for the other, varnashrama dharma, Krishna himself says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. So bhakti, it is the practice of the Vaishnava. Prabhupada Chaitanya quoted to the Tattvabhadi Acharya Prahlad Maharaja's verse. Navanga bhakti. Shavanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam parasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. Sri Chaitanya said, this is the path. And that conversation with Rai Ramananda is examining that path in more detail. Yeah? So, Prabhupada's comparing and contrasting Tattvavad, Vedavad. The Tattvavadis, they identify themselves as the Tattvavadis. You know, we understand distinctions. They really focus on that, emphasize Madhva. He would hold this mudra. What does it mean? Victory. What? Peace. Dvaita, two. He's establishing this distinction. There's a difference between God and the living entity. There's a difference between God and the world. And that was when you see a painting of Madhva, that's how he sits. For followers of Sri Chaitanya, the emphasis is on bhakti, upasana, service, devotion. So we don't identify as Vedavadis, Mayavadis, or even Tattvavadis. Although we apply Tattvavad, we don't self-identify that way. We identify as aspiring devotees, bhakti yogis. Yeah? Rupanugas, followers of Sri Rupa Goswami. Our focus and an emphasis is on bhakti, on devotion. Our practice is bhakti. We try to link all that we do and make it as an offering of bhakti. Yeah, so that bhakti, it is not emphasized in the Veda Samhita that the Vedavadi focuses on. It is there as an undercurrent, but it is more implicit rather than explicit. But that bhakti, that current of bhakti, it flows on the surface of Srimad Bhagavatam. It flows through the surface, through the currents of the Bhagavad Gita. And that's where we draw our inspiration, our direction. Those are the teachings for which we aspire to embody, to apply in our lives. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. So for those who focus on the Vedavad, spiritual life is not manifest. That's the... For such people, spiritual advancement is not manifest. But for those who focus on Bhagavad Purana, on Bhagavad Gita, spiritual life will quickly manifest. Okay, so we'll conclude there, and I'm a little bit over time, so please forgive me that I won't take any questions. Thank you all very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Just to let you know, for next week, I think the morning class will be given... his name has slipped my mind. In glorification of his spiritual master, Viraj Krishna Prabhu. I'll give the Sunday class the following day, and the evening class on Saturday for Nrisimha Chaturdasi. Just devotees contact me and they ask me through the week, are you giving class next week? Just so you know. Next Saturday morning I won't give class, but I will on Sunday morning. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
We've just returned from Hungary, New South Wales, doing some fencing work with...